Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Well, it happened last night. 8 years, 8 seasons of... and by the way, we're not going to discuss any specifics about Game of Thrones. We're going to go. We're going to circle around all of that, but we're not going to get into it.
Just who lived and who died, right?
Yeah, we'll tell you exactly.
But no plot points.
What happened. But, it's all done. And,
Can I ask you something?
I stayed up late last night to watch it, yeah.
So you watched it, you did... And any show that I've ever loved, and love the way you love Game of Thrones, and as many do, what was it, the 18, you know, how many millions watched it last night? It was huge.
I'm not sure, yeah.
But after it, I always feel a bit of a sense of loss.
Exactly. In fact, the first words out of Casey's mouth this morning to me... were, I'm sorry for your loss, Preston.
Yeah.
And then you threw me some thoughts and prayers. I appreciate that.
Always, man, thoughts and prayers.
But, exactly. Leading up to this, excitement and everything is, anticipatory. And
yes.
Then it happens and it's over. And then, you know, it's like the Olympians who train a good portion of their lives. And then the event comes and goes, and maybe they win, and after that, it's like, well, now what? No.
You know, it's like when you've been having a great time at a place, like at a nightclub or a bar or something, and then the lights come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's the thing. I'm okay with how everything ended last night. I really, really am.
Me too. Everyone agrees with you.
But the thing
is,
I'm still divided. I'm not happy. And it's not because of the way everything ended up. I'm not happy because it's over.
Yeah, I know.
Mean, it's real, like...
Well, the truth of the matter is, as you know, there is all sorts of other series planned around the world of the whole Game of Thrones universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've not seen it. I haven't seen any episodes this season. I was caught up until this season. But I'm actually pretty proud of myself because I've been able to avoid spoilers rather successfully throughout this season. I know some things happen to certain characters because you see all their names trending on Twitter or whatever. I'm wondering how long I'll be able to make it like this week without hearing something.
Here's the deal. And I was just talking to, we have a couple of guests hanging out in our studio, Greg over here. And I was saying, Nick, if you find out something important at this point, it's your own fault.
Oh, it's on me.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Get this. Okay. My wife just started. I mean, she's binging. She's like completely addicted. And she honored our agreement to watch it together by totally ignoring our agreement to watch it together.
That's a good point.
And so she's, but she's so much into it. She's I got to be careful on social media. I said, hon, you just have to accept that you are going to find out major plot. Just enjoy it for what it is. And in a way, almost, you can enjoy it in a different way. So just go along for the ride.
Yeah. I remember when the Red Wedding happened. Knowing about
Billy Idol, right?
No. In Game
of
Thrones.
That's
why, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know exactly what it was. So I, if you want to avoid spoilers, you can, unless somebody directly talks to you about it or you're in the room and they drop something.
You can do it effectively to a point where, like on something that is such a pop culture explosion as is this.
Right. Yeah.
Or like with the Avengers. You can do it to a level. But you can't get pissed off if something slips through.
Exactly. Right, but you know what, Nick? The Red Wedding, I knew what happened because somebody like spliced it into something that I wasn't expecting.
Oh, that blows.
So it was
cat on a Roomba video.
But if you remember, like the first act that created the Red Wedding, like I'm just kind of like watching and something else. I'm watching something else, and then boom, that comes. I was like, well, what? I don't understand what's happening. And then when I got to that episode of the Game of Thrones, I was like, oh. I'm like, oh, I totally know what happens.
Yeah, you're going to know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, unfortunately, you got to try to dodge that stuff, or the moment you get a chance, dive in and watch it, Nick.
Right, I will.
Did you have any special food? Did you dress up? Were you wearing a Game of Thrones shirt?
I started to. I put on the shirt that I'm wearing now, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put on a shirt until I know who is, because there had to be, at the end, some kind of someone who claims ownership of... you know, leading the realm, and I was going to wait to wear the proper shirt. But anyhow, no, I went in my room. I shut the door by myself. I turned the TV up almost as loud as it would go, and I turned the lights off.
Does anybody else in your family watch?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Not a single person. I have no one to talk to about
that. Me neither.
At home.
And, Preston, I did the same thing. Shut the door, turned the volume up to 50.
Pulled my pants down.
Pulled my pants down. Yeah. Put them back
went
on because my kids were right
there. Pounded away, turned on the set.
But I was getting pissed off. Like, my daughter came into the room as if we don't have like 10 rooms in the house that she, you know, like, but Avery was watching the TV too loud. And so, I turned to her and as calmly as I possibly, hon, I literally been waiting 10 years for this. Okay? Like, 10 years.
I don't love you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I never wanted you, but I love this show. Yeah. No, I,
15 minutes left in the episode.
Isn't that a given, though?
All three kids came in.
You knew
I'm like,
gonna...
listen, I don't have to give you guys a kiss goodnight every night, all right?
you know what's interesting? I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, 10, some roughly, you know, these amount of years that you've been waiting for this. And I started to reflect on how long the show has now been a part of my life. And that goes with any show that you've committed to from beginning to end and you let it go. Like Breaking Bad would be one, you know, that ran for 5 years. And I started to think about, I remember like the first time I heard about the show coming up was with a group of people, a couple's house that we were over. We're not even friends with them anymore.
Nope.
That's how long I've been watching this show, I realized. So, we had a full-on discussion. I'm like, wow, we don't even socialize with those guys
anymore.
That was
the first time you heard it?
Yeah. First time
you were at a swingers party.
Yeah.
And
No,
and, that's wild.
And then I started to think about, well, you know, yeah, people have come and gone. Some babies have been born. People have died. All these things have happened over the stretch. It's been a big chunk of time that I've committed to this program and loved so much.
Well, it's, listen, the show deals extensively with pop culture, and it's so much, it's a commonality, you know, that we all, at least most of us, I don't know anyone who just totally says, pop culture. There's something that you like and can find that you like. We were talking about this at the barbecue with a few people, Preston, the complexion of what was the adoration and enjoyment of pop culture has changed because of so much delayed viewing, whereas you could not have a situation as we had with Lost years ago where we could go and talk about it the next day because everyone was a very communal watching experience.
Yep.
But still, like I remember when the redo of Battlestar Galactica, the second go-around, the series that was on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
One of the greatest television series ever.
And many people actually agree with you on that. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's amazing.
And when it wrapped up, I think it's the reaction I'm getting from you guys with Game of Thrones. I was satisfied, but there's no way you can go on a journey like that, that is as emotionally wrought and all this stuff, and have it wrap up totally perfect everywhere in your mind you'd set the expectation level at. Yep. It just can't be.
People are almost always going to be disappointed in some way, shape, or form. And to that, by the way, yesterday I was out and about. We had three different things. We had a cheer banquet. We had a band banquet. We had a graduation party. So I was talking to a lot of people yesterday. I ran into a lot of Game of Thrones fans. And every single person I talked to has loved the past few episodes, as opposed to all this you've been seeing about online.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big, but somebody put it to me this way. You know what? Those people all find each other and then they make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
But every single person I spoke to yesterday was, I'm loving this. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm like, yes, thank you. And I let them know that every person I ran into had said the same thing.
So I have an example of mine in mind of the question I'm about to ask, but have you guys ever watched a finale of a show that you weren't invested in most of the rest of the episodes?
Yes, I watched McDreamy. What was Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy.
I watched,
but that's not a finale.
It was just a series.
When
it was
he left
season.
The show,
it was a season. I forget. He was shot, I think, in one of the. And
he
choked
to death on a tongue depressor.
But it made me go back. I was like, all right, I think I want to watch part of the show now. Okay, you know, okay. I didn't go. I didn't watch the entire thing. But
to your point, Nick, about have you ever like the final episode of a series?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's what I was about to comment on. Seinfeld.
Oh.
I'm one of the few Americans that really didn't get into Seinfeld. I appreciated its humor and everything, but I just didn't dive into it like everybody else did. And, of course, it was a huge pop culture event.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, like, a viewing party and everything. And so I went and I watched it, and I wasn't getting everything.
Yeah, but that last episode wasn't even that good.
It was a bad episode.
It was
bad, and it took... These characters that were the whole idea of concerning Seinfeld, these characters that were sort of removed and really not.
They were reprehensible.
But there were still elements of likability that kept you moving along with them. And the last episode just sucked all of that out. It basically made them witness to a crime that they didn't do anything to stop.
Yeah, it pointed out all of their flaws and how terrible they were as people.
And didn't reward the audience in some way for watching it.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
The last episode of a series that I didn't watch and I loved it was 6 Feet Under. And 6 Feet Under was a really good show. I just never got into it. I would catch episodes here and there. The last episode of that show, the way that it wrapped everything up, and this was a show that I was not emotionally involved with, I got emotional about it. They just, I mean,
did it make you go back and watch the rest of the series?
Not all of it, but okay. But bits and pieces of it here and there. But the way that they took these characters, and it was their show about death, and they, and this is a spoiler alert because it's 10 years later. But
Casey's covering his ears.
Oh, he doesn't want to know about 6 Feet Under?
About 6 Feet Under?
Okay.
Okay.
No, his ears hurt.
I actually, it's on my list. I actually started watching the very first episode.
Oh, right. Ears.
Well, then I won't tell you how it
ends. Say it. Yeah. Say it out loud. Sing it proud. I mean, show's been off the air forever.
Has it? Yeah. When did that
it
end?
It was about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Before Dexter.
Yeah. Don't tell me how Gunsmoke ends.
Well, by the way, so Steve sent me this article, and I think it was from USA Today. I'm not 100% sure, but it was the best and worst series finales.
Yes.
And the number one, as far as the best goes, according to them, is 6 Feet Under.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they ranked as the best ending.
Well, Casey, you were going to enjoy it.
Of series of all time. So I don't know exactly what happens, but they ranked there. So I'll run down the list here.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go into too much detail, but number two on their list was Newhart.
Newhart had such a great turnaround ending. There were two iterations. There was the Bob Newhart show, and then there was Newhart. So the Newhart show ends with a hearkening back to the Bob Newhart show, where he's in bed with Suzanne Pleshette at the end, and the series never took place. It was very funny.
Number three on the list was MASH. Very, very emotional.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was overwrought. You know, and apparently the 200 million Americans that watch it.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest TV viewings of all time, right?
Yeah, it was huge.
I enjoyed it. The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes. The big group hug at the end.
Was ranked, yeah. And they managed to throw in a laugh in the middle of that unbelievably emotional moment. They all have this, they're all crying and they're hugging each other. And it's really, you have tears running down your face. And they realize they need a tissue, which the box of tissues is across the room. So they all, in this group hug, slowly shuffle over together to get the tissues. It was hilarious.
It was great. Yeah. Steve, the way that your mind works, when you started that sentence with the group hug, I thought you were going to say the group sex.
Group sex at the end of Mary Tyler Moore was great, especially when Ted finished off on Murray.
See, that's a Steve Morrison moment. I swear to God, I thought that's the direction you were headed
off on Murray. On his bald head.
Yeah, exactly.
Number five on their list is Battlestar Galactica, Steve.
Yeah.
That says a lot. In something like, in company with shows like MASH and Newhart and Mary Tyler, that they put Battlestar Galactica up there. Battlestar Galactica. And like you have told me for years and many other people, that is one of the best TV series they've ever seen.
Preston, when you come in after, that's why I will eventually watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I need to get away from the whole deal now that my wife has decided to break our pact. You come in and you go, oh my, I can't believe that episode just blew me away. One right after another, by the way, it went through its high points and went through its low points, and you know, you go along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Hey, is The Office on this list?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
That wrapped up really well.
This list is from late 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is actually.
Yeah. All right.
So then you have the Sopranos as number six is one of the best series finales.
Now do you remember how controversial that was? Because it ends with a non-definitive ending. Everyone wanted to know if in the world of the mafia and the Tony's world, if he would end up getting whacked, but it was the family sitting in a diner as Journey played, you know?
Actually, that was one that I watched. I did see some of the episodes prior to, but I didn't follow it religiously, but I watched that
last
episode.
What did you think, Kathy, seen it?
Not having seen it, I thought it was a good ending.
Yeah.
And it was open-ended. I mean, it was open to interpretation. A lot of people think that Tony was killed.
I'm waiting on my hash browns. I ordered some hash browns.
But it's not definitive.
Can I get this butter a little better?
Now this is my opinion, but I think that most people don't want an open ending. They would like to tell you to tell them what happens. But, you know.
But the creator of the series,
David Chase.
David Chase stands by it. But again, if that episode didn't exist and all you had was the great show before it, which had, again, its wealth of mind-blowing episodes. Mm. I watched. It's great.
By the way, that's another one that I didn't watch, but I did watch this season the series finale.
Yeah, they're supposed to be doing a prequel to it. I don't know if it's going to be a movie or
the Baritones.
Nope. It's going to be...
Hey, you want to go out for some sandwiches?
Tony in high school.
Tony?
No, really? I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Little Tony?
No. Like, what his formative years and what it was like growing up in a mafia family.
What about the... Is that what the movie is?
That's what I just said, yeah.
But because they're also planning another series, you know.
I don't think it's going to be a series. I think it's going to be a standalone movie, but HBO is not quite sure. And I don't know if David Chase is involved. It seems like there's a lot of... proverbial balls up in the air.
Here are some of the other ones that were ranked as the best series finales of all time. The Shield is number 7 on their list.
The Shield was great. I watched a couple of seasons and didn't make it all the way to the end, but it had one of those great characters that, and I guess Game of Thrones is replete with them, where one week you're like, yeah, this guy's a good guy. And the other guy goes, this is the worst guy who's ever born.
Most definitely. There's some complex characters. Then you had number 8 was Cheers.
Cheers had a perfect ending.
Yeah, it was awesome. That. Sorry, like bars closed. I think that's what the
name was. Yeah, what a great way to end it. I agree.
I think we're closed.
Symbolically. We're
closed. Yeah.
We don't serve your kind.
And they ended with like a very racist
wow.
moment.
We don't serve your kind. This is Boston.
I was hoping, though.
This is Boston.
What did you say?
No, I was hoping that they were going to show Vera Peterson because she had always been alluded to for the entire run of the series. And I was hoping that the gag was that she was just an absolute knockout. Like, you know what I mean?
And Norm's wife.
But those last, you get down to the money shot, the last minute, and he's there.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that you know, last second.
And right before he goes, you remember, he straightens the picture of Coach on the wall.
Geronimo.
Geronimo,
Which was in Ernie, in Nicholas Colasanto's locker. So it was a nod to Coach.
A nod to him. That was so cool.
And Sam finally realizes after Norm tells him that his one true love in life is the bar.
The bar.
Yeah. Does he say, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch?
Something like that.
What he says?
What?
Is that what he says?
Yeah, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch alive or something like that. And then he says, we don't serve your kind.
Yeah, we don't serve your kind. Get out of here.
Sorry, we don't serve your kind.
Ruining this city. What? Why would you take that pivot in the last 10 seconds of a beloved series?
He throws a pot of scalding hot water on a homeless person.
Get out of here. Peeing all over the sidewalk.
All right, so two more on this list of the best series finales. Then we'll go on to the worst.
Yes.
According to this list. Number 9 is Breaking Bad for the best. I thought that wrapped up nicely.
I don't think I've ever encountered anyone who was a fan all along the series, all the way to the finale, who doesn't agree with it being one of the absolute best endings of a series ever.
Yep. And then this one is number 10 on the list, The Americans.
Yes, which is the family of Russian spies living in the States.
It's got Felicity in it.
Felicity's in it.
Carrie Russell.
I'm watching it.
Comrade Felicity.
So I guess that wrapped up nicely. I don't know.
Well, you know what's not on the list, though, Preston, if I may, and I think you would agree?
Please.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Good things. That final episode.
It has been so long since I've seen that, but I remember I loved it.
It began with Q in the pilot episode and ends with Q. And so at one
point... His nephew dies and that kind of... Yeah, right. I remember
and
that.
All three ships are... there's a Vortex and the original... They're all meeting in this whole thing where they have to, you know, hold too much to say other than I was crying my eyes out. And the final scene is the captain never came in and played cards with everybody.
Yeah.
Picard, he was too busy, and he didn't think they wanted him to come in and play cards with them. And that was the final thing that they did. It was just beautiful. Yeah.
Well done. All right, here's some of the worst ones. And I went from the number 1 spot down. Did
I change it up?
I know, Bill.
There's only like 4 or 5.
Bill, there's only 5 of them.
All right, well then go 3, 4, 2, 1, and 5.
No, I'll start with 5. The worst endings, according to this article, Charmed on the WB.
People cared enough about it.
Again, it should be a show that people care about.
I'm sorry.
No one gives a rat's ass.
Shoot the messenger.
Yeah. It's like Small Wonder. Everyone was disappointed when her servos shorted out. Who cares? She can no longer lift the couch.
Number 4 is Dexter.
Dexter,
which case you watch.
A big series for people. What did you think, Casey?
I thought it... No, the ending was terrible.
Okay.
It absolutely was just a horrendous ending. but the last couple of seasons it just got like
petered out.
It really did. I mean, so like, they gave him a girlfriend, and then, you know,
you weren't unprepared for a less than satisfying ending. That's the issue. A show like The Sopranos, excellent all the way through. So when it does end on us on a note that's not quite in line with the rest of the show, that's when it hits more. But in this, you were sort of prepared for it to sort of stink.
Well, I really feel like, I mean, this dude's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And you spend a couple of years rooting for this guy, and then you're like, you know, like, how about maybe he, like, gets his due.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel weird, like, this dude's killing people and you're rooting for it. Like, I don't feel right about that.
Right.
Number three on this list is, for worst series wrap-ups, Lost. Yeah. If I had a feeling that would be on there.
And we had a talk at the barbecue with Pierre about this. You know, we were sitting back there talking about how the show, again, it gave us incredible amounts of viewing pleasure. It was a great, complex story. But I said to Pierre, he agreed, there were too many open ends that they didn't follow through on.
And
it was clear that they didn't know how to finish it up, and it ended exactly the way they said it wasn't going to end.
And I think that was a big problem, was they said it is not going to end this way. That's not what it is.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, we have nothing else to do.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Just end it that way.
It's the only way that we can end this
thing. Like, they've made statements
it's
that it wasn't
going to
end that way.
They made statements throughout the entire run of the show that it wasn't purgatory.
Yeah. It's limbo. That's what it is. It's not purgatory.
Now
it's
we'll
limbo,
get emails from people going, wasn't purgatory. No. For all intents and purposes, they were sitting in a church.
Yeah, it was a waiting room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing missing were the highlights magazines.
I was a little disappointed. It didn't destroy me. It didn't say, like, what a waste of all these years.
No.
You know? But I was just you could have done better.
I was mad. I thought it was a terrible ending.
But you remember the first time you saw, like, the Dharma symbol on the shark, and you're like, oh, my God! What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then what was it?
Nothing. Dharma need never have existed.
Namaste my ass.
Yeah.
Number two is Seinfeld. We spoke about that already. And number one on this list for worst series finales, and I didn't watch any of this show, is How I Met Your Mother. I know it was very popular.
Wow.
Did very well, and I don't know how it ended. But
it was okay. It was a sitcom, though. And so I think we tend to get a little bit more, as you would imagine, tied up in the dramas. But I thought it was a fine ending, you know.
Steve, a text just came in, and I'm surprised this wasn't on the list, but St. Elsewhere. A lot of people thought that was a cop-out.
Well, some people did. It was an autistic child looking at a snow globe, and he had made up the whole St. Elsewhere story in his mind, is what we were led to believe.
The hospital was in the globe, right?
Yeah. Oh. Which is, that's kind of, you know, a hospital, really?
Well, here's what happens. Then you mean all of the drama, all of the loss, and all of those great moments between these characters was just nothing.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that they took a shot at that. But you've got to get people who have been watching the show and invested all that time in it. You got to give them something that says, okay, you look at Endgame. Look at how beautiful Endgame takes all of these stories. It not only gives you what you want, gives you things you didn't even know you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Endgame a lot since I've watched it. There's a part of me that really enjoyed, because I loved it so much, I wish there was more of a pause until the next one came out. And I feel like just a little bit of a rush to Spider-Man. I get it. I understand what Marvel's doing. And but even like with the trailer for Spider-Man, when they're referencing the things that just happened in Endgame, Endgame was such a great way to wrap up that part of this Marvel universe. Let that sit for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the response is to Spider-Man.
By the way, there's a group, there's an organization that is apparently offering counseling for those who were distraught at the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Talking about that sense of loss, right?
The way they put it, I like this, says the finale of a show was always going to leave fans distraught after 8 years of enjoyment. So we've launched a specialized Game of Thrones counseling service to help bereft fans seek support and get the help they need through this tough time. Fans can speak to qualified counselors who are familiar with the series to discuss plot twists and storylines. The professionals will help them digest their feelings and interpretation of the show, which could range from anger and confusion to sadness and grief. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, the counselors will be on hand to guide fans on how to move on after almost a decade of fandom. And charges is like $40 or something like that for a 30-minute session.
I will say, despite loving the entire run and being very, very happy with how everything ended, Preston, during the commercial break, I want to tell you, and Nick Murphy, I think they could have done one other thing.
Last night?
Last night.
Okay.
That everybody would have been like, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's, listen, there's all kinds
you
of
you mean the commercials points. Or the series? Like, if they brought back Madge or something like that?
No, the series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're
Madge
soaking in it.
The Palmolive commercials? Listen, I was happy. Let me just give you my basic review.
By the way, spoiler. We've been entirely spoiler free.
I'm not going to give you anything that's going to spoil if you haven't seen it yet. But I'm satisfied with how it ended. I think that some shortcuts were taken. I was just talking to listener Greg, who's here in our studio. Had they had 3 or 4 more episodes this season, I think they could have really fleshed it out better. I wasn't upset with it, but I was like, okay, at the end. But I had anticipated maybe feeling that way.
Yeah.
As usually happens with most series finales, where you're not going to be 100% satisfied. So I went into it knowing that I would probably be that way. So I'm not disappointed,
Think about the miracle of getting something that can hold your attention for this many years and be as good as it was. I'm operating on what I hear the feedback is. I will watch it at some point. That alone gave you so much time of joy over that amount of time. It's a win, regardless of how it ends.
Yeah, but they did. They once again, they surprised me with their decision on how to end it. I did not see what happened coming, and I ran through several scenarios of what I thought maybe was going to happen. And they picked one that I didn't even consider. So
spring break.
I think it's cool. But it's time. Listen, winter's over, dude.
Yeah. Time to hit the beach.
Yes.
And then a scene where they're holding up their hot dogs on sticks in front of the dragons.
Winter has come and gone. Spring break, going to Fort Lauderdale. That'd be awesome, right?
Oh, my God.
Instead of a sword, they've got, like, those half yards of margaritas. Oh, my God. But it's a big era that's come to a close as far as entertainment goes. But what's also promising is the fact that they were able to do something with that production value on that scale that, there's going to be other series that are going to hit that benchmark and be that good.
It already is in that they, they can pull off stuff on a slightly lesser budget with the computer wizardry. And if you look at the making of Game of Thrones over the years, a lot of times they're standing in a lot, sure. And everything else is created around them. So what they can do, even the dragon stuff and all, it's just amazing.
Yep. So, anyhow, it has come and gone. We will await the next big thing that comes along. But Game of Thrones, if you have not, if this is all completely foreign to you, I recommend you check out the show. I really loved it. But if medieval type settings and dragons aren't your thing, you're not going to like it. But nonetheless, it's really, really that the entire first season actually is very little to do with any magic or wizardry or any of that. It's a lot of politics and family and struggle for power and stuff. It's really, really well done. So anyhow, that is that.
Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.